If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hi, everybody. This is Matt from the School of Fiction channel, and this is our second multi-author forum. Our topic for today is imposter syndrome for fiction writers. And with us today, we have our expert, Long Island's most ethical entrepreneur and a motivational coach, Edna J. White. And then we also have with us Jennifer Jackson Lewis, who's going to start us off, who has several books to her credit, several YA books to her credit. And then joining us as well is E. Wade, who has been a guest on this channel before, who has written a lot of novels and is a dialogue expert from Houston. And then we have my author bestie, Misty Parker, currently living in Kentucky, who is a multi-genre romance author. And J.M. Chailey, just released his third vampire novel about Lisa Cooper, one of the most fascinating vampire characters in quite a long time. And we are looking forward to getting into this very difficult and complex topic. So I'm going to throw it to Jennifer to get us started. Take it away.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, imposter syndrome is considered a psychological phenomenon. It is the persistent belief that you are a fraud and that your previous successes are just flukes or from luck, and that others will discover you're not as talented or as accomplished as they thought. So in a nutshell, you will be discovered as an imposter. So it's kind of a form of paranoia, and it is considered causally related to a performance anxiety like public speaking. And so those who suffer from, from this syndrome, they tend to procrastinate. They can become perfectionists, so they cannot finish because they're, obsessing about every detail. Or they get into avoidant behavior where they're avoiding their work, or they even develop a block against it. And so this type of anxiety can become very pervasive and bleed into other parts of their lives, affecting their relationships with others and, of course, their work. Now, as it relates to writing, imposter syndrome can stem from really the subjective nature of an author's work because there is no objective standard against which to measure. And also, many suffer something called a highlight effect because they're viewing like other authors' final polished words. And then that gives them this false sense that others do not have to struggle and it just comes easy to everyone but them. Mm-hmm. Now, I personally have not experienced this as an author, perhaps because I'm just starting to put my work out and I haven't had great success so far. But I have experienced this as a math professor. And when I tell people I teach math, they just assume I know everything there is to know about math, which is impossible. And so I'm always thinking that people are going to be like, oh my God, you don't know that thing. And I have had people try to challenge and question me about certain things about math. So that is kind of, a similar fear. But when I thought about this topic as it relates to writing and fiction writing, the first thing that came to mind, I'm not sure if you all are familiar with the character Hank Moody on the show Californication, played by David Duchovny. And he starts off the show living on the royalties from his great success. And throughout the show, he feels he can never match what he previously did. And it just destroys his whole life. And that's like a lot of what the show is about. So when I heard about this topic, that was like the very first thing I thought about was that character and his struggle is a very good, example of that in pop culture. So this evening, we are going to hear from an expert on imposter syndrome, as well as our esteemed panel. Our expert is Edna J. White. She is an author, a motivational speaker, and a life and business coach. And she helps those 40 and up step into their next chapter with clarity, confidence, and purpose. She guides them through something called the Bishop Stage, where their life wisdom turns into impact, income, and inner liberation. She cuts through cultural conditioning, religious programming, and old survival patterns so people stop shrinking and start leading their lives on purpose. And so she has a lot to tell us on this subject. And so I'm going to hand it over to you, Edna, to get us started with our discussion.
Oh goodness, let me just tell you. I think when you said that about your writing, I was like, oh my goodness. I know imposter syndrome hits me other ways, but writing was a trick, you know. I think there's so many things that with authors that we go through. One being that I'm not a real writer. Like, have you ever felt that? I'm not a real writer. The first thing you ever wrote is like, oh, this doesn't look great. You try to hide it. And that's one thing that you kind of like, start to feel. And it's rough because when you first start writing, you're not doing it through as the way they want you to, like a publisher paying you. You're doing it through independently or, publishing it print on demand. And that's like one of the hardest things, like, this is not good. It's not selling because it's not good. And I've gone through that. I think I've written about 150 ebooks and I never published them. And I was like, oh, these are not good enough. These are not good enough. And I've been through that, and just putting out the ones that I have put out, I went through the same thing. This is not real. This is not real writing. So, but it's a lie. It's a lie. It's like you said, it's subjective. And believe it or not, when I now that I'm trying to put out the 150, I have interns that kind of do the work, right? They do the work for me. And it's like, oh, this is so good. This is so good. And I forgot about I wrote it. You can forget those things. You forget, And I was like, oh, I wrote that? Yeah. Yeah, you wrote it. And I was like, oh, okay. But we go through those things. There's a lot, there's a gamut, of things that we go through. Success, and you know how you see people say bestseller? For years I didn't want to say that about my book. My book was one of my books that called The Women Right Now, a publisher paid me to write or put together, should I say, curate. And it was a bestseller, and I want to tell you, for 1 week. And I didn't know if I was supposed to say bestseller forever or minimize it and say bestseller for 1 week. I didn't want to be a liar, but I kind of, it was the imposter syndrome saying, that's not true. When you're a bestseller, you're a bestseller. And it was somebody in the book industry had told me, would you stop that? It was a bestseller for 2 weeks, on Amazon for the first 2 weeks, bestseller. I was like, okay, but it took a lot to kind of say that, we go through those things, especially if you're writing about something personal too, that's, fiction and nonfiction, you can probably get away with because everybody, I love vampires, by the way, JM, I love it, love them. And that's easy because that, I think, because it's adventurous, but when you talk about yourself, and you talk about something that's like personal or giving your story and or sharing a part of your story, it's like, oh man, they're not gonna read this. And when I put out my first book, the stuff that no one told us about living as an adult after childhood sexual abuse, I didn't think anybody was gonna like it. Woke up one day and I sold 10,000 e-books to Germany. So it can be done. You don't know, you got to put it out there because you don't know, and it showed me that every book doesn't go the same, have the same route, So imposter syndrome stops us and keeps us stuck as writers from not sharing. Because even I've heard even writers say a lot about putting like you know how you when first put your manuscript out, I got to give it to somebody, so you got to give it to like close friends. They don't want to even do that because oh God, they're going to probably give me some bad feedback. I know some writers that do not want to hear feedback about their book. But I was like, I need to hear what's wrong with it. So I would give it to everybody. What's wrong with it? Tell me what's wrong with it, you know? And because the publisher is gonna rip it to shreds, let me just tell you, I've had that happen to me already. They'll rip it to shreds. Like, no, I wanted to say that. I really want to say that, you know? And you know, they have their own ideas. But you know, imposter syndrome will stop us from doing just the simplest things, getting our manuscript out there, you know? The comparison trap that you talked about in the beginning, right? You see other the major, you know, the major players, the best sellers with the, you know, 1 million copies and all of that. You're like, my writing will never get up there. Never get up there. Let me just tell you, one person, and you know, like they say Oprah has the golden touch, one person can read it and it spreads like wildfire. You know, you never know. But imposter syndrome keeps us in that comparison trail that we constantly measure ourselves against another author. You know, I'm glad that Matt's having this discussion because authors refuse to work with one another sometimes because of comparison, you know, or productivity or sales, you know, and that's a whole nother avenue, sales. But you know, even on platforms like this, you know, it's comparison, you know, you feel funny sometimes, you know, like I don't want to say anything to hurt the next person, or you know, maybe they're like JM is writing, you know, nonfiction, and I don't want to say anything that could hurt like him, but you know, we all have an experience, and imposter syndrome kind of keeps us from having those critical conversations. Because everything I believe, even nonfiction, has a little bit of fiction. Just a little bit, you know? Another thing, I think, the myth of the perfect draft. Have you ever had that? It's like you're writing it and you just keep well, I know that when I first started writing, I never used a pencil, so I wouldn't, because I was always erasing. So I used to use a pen and I just kept going and going until, you know, till it was all written, then go back to it. But you know, just to it's got to be clean, kind of perfect. That manuscript can't be messy. You can't pass. I've passed plenty of messy manuscripts to people to read, you know. Crumpled papers, maybe with some butter on it from a bagel or something. Really, seriously, it's like it's everything's got to be perfect. It's just a draft. It's not the, you know, the final thing that goes, you know, out to the public. So we don't, you know, we have those things that we kind of perfect copy. There's no perfect copy because I've even seen mistakes with great writers, you know, and like, oh, that's spelled wrong there. You know, somebody missed it, but it's spelled wrong there, you know? So there's no perfect draft.
I teach a
The
Great
fear
Gatsby.
of this,
Yeah.
huh?
I teach a
Go
Great
ahead.
Gatsby, and there's a scene at the beginning of chapter two where he says he's talking about a billboard with some glasses on it, and it says that the eyes, the retinas are 1 yard wide. And they didn't change it, even though if the retinas are inside the eye, it's actually the irises, because they thought he was so great that they didn't want to mess with his stuff. Actually, this is, the top five authors in American history, and he made a ridiculous mistake and has been reprinted for the last 100 years.
See? That's perfect. That's a perfect example. Yeah. So yeah, everything is not gonna have to be that perfect. Should I keep going? Yeah. Oh. Okay. Let's see. Fear of, like, did I say fear of visibility? Like the deeper the story, the more personal writing is, and then imposter syndrome whispers, "Are you telling the story right?" Is it the right way? Because I know when I was writing my story, I was like, I got to make sure that I remember it right. And if you know anything about survivors of childhood or childhood sexual abuse or any type of trauma, you remember it in bits and pieces, you know? So I kind of, you know, think of it as someone hitting a mirror with their fist and the pieces are broken. You can see the face, but it's all distorted. So you see things different, you know, you see things in pieces, right? So it's like, is this really going to go somewhere? And I remember when I first put my book out, and I was on the, I think I was on with, what's his name? Al Cole. And he was on either ABC or NBC, one of them two. And this girl heard it and she actually emailed me and said, I just bought your book. And I said, okay, I hope you enjoy it. You know, if you have any questions, get back to me. And she called me back and she was in like a really, really bad situation where she was a situation with her dad and she didn't know how to leave or did not, you know, she didn't know how to even separate from it. And she said, your book helped me so much. And when she called me back and when she emailed me back, she said, I moved out with my aunt. And she was able to move, you know, move away. So you never know. The fear of visibility, I always like whispered to my book, wherever you need to go, go, you know. And of course, I have a plan for each book, you know. So, you know, but, you know, the fear of visibility is always like our story. It might not be something that somebody wants, you know. Another one is research overload, I think. Yeah, research overload. I have a friend like that. I have a friend that we were going to write this book together, right? All three of us. And she goes, okay, I got to get all my research right. I got to get my research right. And we have not written that book yet. Because she's still researching and life started getting in the way, right? Research, we go crazy sometimes, you know, to over search because we're afraid to be called out on something.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know enough. You know, let me just tell you, that's why they have like, what's the word when you update your book, when you have the first edition, you have a second edition, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So that's a thing. So, you know, we have to look at that and say, hey, that's right. If I'm limited in research on this, I can always update it later because every book grows, really. I mean, if you have one book, you can actually expand it later on. So we forget those things, especially around nonfiction, you know, especially around nonfiction. Genre shame. Yeah, you had that one? You ever had that one? Shame and genre. Like, you're not really a self-help writer. You're not really a fan of fiction, you know. So yeah, imposter syndrome kind of like fuels that literary, you know, part of you, like, oh, I don't know if I fit in this genre or not, you know. And it tricks you, you know. When I was trying to place, especially when you're doing it independently, you're trying to place your book, you know, with Amazon, you're trying to like, does it belong in this genre? Does it belong in that genre? And you're trying to place it. I said, hey, have fun with it and just place it where it needs to go. It might just get to somebody until you find your space, you know? But it changes you from like picking a genre. Like if you know this is going to help somebody, you know, maybe it's a little political, right? But it's really leaning towards helping somebody in a situation that's really personal. And you're not sure where to go. So it probably will, I don't know enough about this. I don't know enough about that. Hey, nothing beats a failure, but a try. That's what somebody told me. So it's good to do, you know, try to do that. And, you know, not be afraid because imposter syndrome will trick you for real.
Equivalent in fiction would be, no one's going to read it because I'm not writing to market.
Oh, yeah. That's a trick. It's a big trick. It's a big trick. I wrote this book for my mom. You know, I wrote this book for my mom, and I'm like, you published it. So it's got to go bigger than that. There's a reason why it comes out of you is to be published and shared. Yes, maybe your mom was the light for it, but it's probably bigger than that. I worked with somebody who was from Trinidad, and he wrote this beautiful collection of poetry, and we were working on it, and he says, "Oh, I just wrote it for my mom." I said, "Well, no, I think it's bigger than that, because it's sparking something in me." And so he literally put it together. I said, "I think you should set it to music." And he got someone that with this beautiful guitar music to it, and he won an amazing award. Like, he keeps winning awards on this one book of poetry, which is amazing. But if he didn't know what genre it was supposed to be in, he was like, "I don't know. It's for my mother, you know. It's what I was like. Yeah, it's for your mother, but I think it's bigger than that. When you write, when you're creative, it's bigger than that." And that, imposter syndrome comes to kind of take you away and out of that place, that it's bigger. Your writings are bigger than you, that they're supposed to be in this world. Yes, there's probably millions and gazillions, I don't know how many, but of books, but all of them reach everyone. Think of it like blood going through the veins of your body. Each one of us have a job to do, like a cell. And that's what a writing is. I think it is, anyway, because I love writing. Right? So just fear of judgment that stops you. I know someone who got 80% through their manuscript, 80%, and got afraid because they thought someone gave them a critique and they didn't like it. And they's like, "I'm not finishing it." And they didn't finish it. And I was like, this could have been your bestseller. But just being fear of being judged stops you from finishing things. And imposter syndrome does that. It'll stop you. Should I keep going?
Let's throw it out to everyone.
Okay.
Start telling
Okay.
stories and asking some questions in any order.
Okay.
Well, one thing I just, mentioned when you were talking, I was thinking about is like, I have developed this strange aversion to the bookstore and the library. 'Cause like, I love reading, but when I go and I'm like, "All right, here's all my competition." Like, it just feels like that, like, okay, and like, I like to look and I like to see what's out there, but at the same time, then I'm like, "All right, my idea is not as exciting. My idea is not as this." And then, like, also about genre, like, I write in several genres. Like, I do a lot of sci-fi, I have a lot of psychological thriller, but like, I touch a lot of genres. So that's kind of like, am I supposed to be doing something more or different than I thinking about or doing it? And then just like your friend, I'm like, "All right, maybe I should scrap all of my 80% and just like start over with a new concept." And so sometimes, right, I have that temptation to quit what I'm doing because I assume it's not right. So I hear you on that.
I'll go into the bookstore and I'll be like, "I haven't kept up. I don't know who these people are. They're all they all know exactly what's going on. They're all writing to market. They're all blah, 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 and I'm just like by myself and I'm not doing my homework and
You're never going to catch up to as many writers there are. Forget it. I stop doing it. I stop looking. And then if somebody mentions the book to me, I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'll pick that up and check it out." And I'll go on Amazon and check it out. Yeah, but you're never going to catch up.
Yeah, that's I feel the same way. Like, you're supposed to be well read, but then when I read other stuff, I just want to go write my own. Like, it inspires me too much
That's what it's
sometimes.
supposed to do. Yep, that's what it's supposed to do. It is. It's supposed to do that. For my podcast, I at least get about three or four books a week, and I have to read them before I, 2 weeks in before I meet my guests. So I'm always reading. And that doesn't, it doesn't come to my thoughts. "Oh, that's I should be writing like that." The only thing that comes to my thoughts now is, "Oh, I love this font. Gotta use this font. I gotta use it." And that's the only thing that comes to my mind is, but all of it's good. But you gain more insight to different things. to expand even on your own stories, your own work.
I do appreciate a good font, so that's always
Yes, girl,
for
yes.
sure. You were talking about genre shame, and I've been writing romance for many years now, and so yeah, just the number of times I've gotten poo-pooed for writing romance is it's I can't really count the number of times. When you go to different book fairs and stuff, and you hear the little remarks and all this stuff, it's and then it makes you like wonder if you're just not, writing good enough. Your writing's not intelligent. You're right. It's just whatever. But I mean, romance is the best-selling genre of all time. But
Absolutely.
yeah. But
You gotta
I've
talk to
pressed on.
yourself differently, because what it does, what you might be in the wrong place, because for me, I used to go to all these book fairs, right? Be sitting there, it's like, everybody's just sitting there, and I would be walking around. Hey, what's your book about? And I never manned my station because I'm so nosy. What's your book about? And I'm having these big old conversations, right? I just kind of figured, oh, I'm not going to sell anything, Not that I thought that I wasn't. It was like, it's not the place to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like it's some places are not. And like I said, you got to whisper to your book, where do you need to go? And and that's what I do with all my books have a different goal. It's like a business plan. Each one of them have a different place to go. It's not like they all stay in one genre. No, they all go different places. So, just don't get discouraged. You might be in the wrong place. That's all. Think outside the box. I'm gonna tell you. I did a with one of my books, I did a not a presentation, but I did a pitch, I'm sorry, to Sleepy's. And I said, talking to the manager, I said, hey, I like your, I wasn't shopping for a bit. I was like, I wonder if I go in there, I talk to this guy and I get a book, I wanted to do something out of the box, And I went and I said, hey, this is a great showroom, And I was like, I wonder if you would, partner with me and do a book signing. He's like, a book signing? What do you mean? I said, you never heard of go to bed with a good book? He was like, what? So I did a book signing and invited all my friends, invited everybody there, and they were like, this is the best thing ever. There were new people coming in. They got to show their showroom. And you just got to think outside the box. Where would you want this book to be? I did something for the hotels. So I had one of my books that was called Move Higher in Your Purpose. And I did something with the Hilton Hotels. And it was just by accident it happened. And when I had the book with me, and one of the ladies said, oh, that's your book? I said, yeah. And so then the manager must have came out for something. And she goes, what are you doing? I said, oh, we have a conference in here, blah, blah, blah. How would you like? And just popped in my, how would you like to have one of these books in every room? Right? Try me out for 1 month. Just give me 1 month. I'll give you 100 books, right? Just go to any hotel. I'll give you 100 books. I got rid of 100 books. So I could truly say that I got rid of 100 books. I got a reference or recommendation from the hotel, and I had a picture with them. That was the best promotion I ever could have done. And that was just with one hotel. Now I'm after doing like a couple. Just think outside the box for yourself. Wherever your book has to have that goal, And I look at every book as a goal. I'm about to write my 32nd, and I look at every book with a different goal. Every book. Every book has a different goal.
Nice.
I like your name, by the way, Misty.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I still struggle with just like approaching people for those out of the box kind of things. So, like, am I good enough for that? They're gonna say no. I just know they're gonna say no.
Oh, no, don't say that. They might just say yes. They might
Well, I
just say
mean,
yes.
the worst thing
They
they
might.
can do is say no, right? Is that's
No, the
it.
best thing they can do is say no, because I got turned down by I pitched Billy Graham's library. Everybody knows that library, right? Everybody
Oh,
knows
yeah.
that's
I
like
used to
a
go to Charlotte
Christian.
all the time, yeah. So.
Yes, okay. I pitched him, right? I always go for the gusto, and I get the gusto nose. But when I got the no from it was it's in writing. I actually laminated that no. I laminated it, okay?
Wow.
From Billy Graham's library, I got a no. And you know what? That kept me going for years. This no is just another stepping stone for my next yes. And if I got a no from him, that, okay, I'm not gonna mess with that anymore. He's gonna come to me now. So and I laminated that, and that's my motivation that, your next your that no is just my stepping stone to my next yes. That's all it is.
Yeah,
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if I was still on. No, I've done some things, Misty. I was saying like I was really afraid to, but I was actually surprised at like how receptive some people were. And I just like emailed random high schools, and I got this librarian of a high school to like invite me, and I gave away a bunch of my books, like put my books into my readers' hands, which are teenagers.
Nice.
And like it was just very,
That's
like
great.
other high schools said no, and they or didn't respond. And like, and now I'm trying to get my book into the bookstore at Michigan Tech, which is my book is about Michigan Tech. And
Oh,
I
wow.
would love for my book to be in their bookstore, as well as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because I also my book takes place there. So, but it's like really scary to like
Sure.
approach these
That's a
big
great
places.
one. I can
So,
imagine.
and that
Yeah.
the definitely the imposter syndrome, like, who am I to like call the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame gift shop?
Right.
Yeah, but we have one in out here in Smithtown, I think it is. That's
Oh yeah.
easy. That's easy. You got that. You
Yeah,
got
it's
that.
scary though. I
No, it's
gave one of my
easy.
books to Jhumpa Lahiri.
Oh, okay.
She donated to the Brooklyn Library, but
That's great. That's great. That is
at
good.
least I got to stand near her.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, when I lived in China, I wrote a children's book in Mandarin and in English. And
Oh,
so all the pictures I had a friend who was my roomie, and she took the like professional photographs of all everything around where we lived. We lived in Jinan, and so she took pictures. And so I knew somebody in my class who was an adult, and he was from the army, so I showed him the book, and he says, "Oh, I know the mayor." Well, they call him something else in China, but oh, I know the mayor. And so that book stayed in China, and it's in China right now in that particular town because it wrote a book about it. So if I can do it, and that was my first out. That was my first time doing something like that, my first time
Wow.
ever, and that was 2013. You can do that. Any of us can do that. Any authors can do that. You just gotta, put yourself out there and just trust that you're going the right way,
Yeah. I think imposter syndrome just feeds into writer's block a lot. We've all spent time on the writer's block. I'm one for about 5 years now, so
Wow.
That's just a break.
so
It's a break.
yeah, just a break. But I mean, yeah, life has gotten in the way and it tends to do that. So I mean, I'm really lucky as far as I have a very great local community of writers that I belong to, that I've
That's
gotten to
great.
know over years, and we have events together and we kind of all circulate in the same events and stuff. And so I'm
That's cool.
really, yeah,
That's a
I'm
really
really
good one.
thankful for that. And I feel very supported by them and stuff and encouraged. So if I didn't have that, I think I would have probably given up a time ago.
That's a good thing. It's a
Yeah.
really good thing.
Yeah.
When I started, I rallied with a lot of writers, other writers that could support me. So we all became our own cheerleaders, and we bought one another's books with us when we went somewhere. We bought our, I had three other
Yeah.
books with me that weren't mine. They were theirs. So I kind of took the heat off, then after that it was easy. But having somebody support you, man, that's powerful like that. It's powerful. It really is.
It is.
Have you ever someone ever said, "Oh, this is really good," or "the cover's really nice"? Did you ever feel uncomfortable when people say that to you?
With a compliment?
Yeah.
No.
No.
That's good. I like that.
No, I that usually, if anything, it pulls me away from feeling like if I'm doubting myself and someone comes up to me and says this is good, I'll be like, "Oh, really? Okay. It is?"
You don't hate it? Yeah. Oh, nice. Thanks.
Yeah.
I remember that I did a open mic, like when I was first, doing my, and that's the thing I've been trying to do is open mics. And this lady come up and she was all crazy about my book. And like, I don't know why, like I did not know how to take a compliment. And like, I didn't even tell her where to get it or anything. Like, I just like still kicking myself over that conversation because she clearly wanted to know where to buy my book. And I was like, isn't the cover horrible? Like, I don't know. I just like put my book down for no good reason, just nervousness or whatever. So,
don't beat yourself up. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we all been there, but we beat ourselves up. But you're realizing it now. And I guess talking about it, it's not going to be that bad now because, we usually suffer in silence. We suffer in silence, like, oh my God. But if you talk about it, it's like, it kind of, okay, I shouldn't be afraid of this,
Yeah.
And there's people out there that's kind of like rooting for us,
I had a guy at a convention I went to recently, and he, I'm an indie author. I've done, there's a few people around my local residence that might know, have heard of me, whatever. There's a few people out on the internet that know me, but this guy comes up and he's all excited. He's like, "Oh my God, JM, you're here." And he's shaking my hand. He's like, "Oh my God." And I literally had no idea how to react to that because never. He's like, "My dad has your book and he talks about it all the time. He's such a fan." And he's like, he wanted me to like sign a bookmark and give it to him. I'm like, "Yeah, all right. You just want my, all right." He's like, "I'm going to tell my dad that you were here and everything." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah." And then he's all excited. He shakes my hand again. He leaves. And I turn to the woman next to me who's at this other, the table next to me. And I'm like, "I don't understand what just happened." And I didn't believe it. So I started asking other authors. I'm like, "Was there some like really enthusiastic guy?"
Oh my gosh, that was bad.
Was I just conned? Was this part of like a thing? Is there like a hidden camera somewhere? And all the other authors were like, "No, that didn't happen to me." And I'm like, "Oh, like, that was real." Like I didn't know how to process it.
Yeah, that is imposter syndrome.
Yeah, yes. I guess it is because I've had people come up and say, "Oh, I love your book. I bought your first one. I'll buy your second one." And then they go and they buy it, and we chit chat, and I'm fine with that because I feel like I've had that happen. Like the first time it happened, I was like, "Oh," but it's happening more. The more shows I do,
of course.
This guy was like psyched. He was so psyched, and I just didn't know how to handle it.
Did you get his number? Yeah. He's your number one fan.
I'm so sorry. I have a question for everyone also about imposter syndrome. But I was a part of this critique group of kind of a famous author, and like everyone in that group was such a better writer than me. And now they're all like multiple published, multiple award-winning authors. I got such writer's block because I was so intimidated by, I was like five other writers. Have you all ever like felt really like, compared yourself to others that you knew and, lost your confidence or gotten writer's block from that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I've been writing since like 2010 and publishing. And, I've seen people come up from that period and from more recent times, and they're already, multi-figure, full-time authors, and here I am still struggling along with my demanding day job and barely making anything on my writing. So, it's hard sometimes when you think about it like that. But At the same time, I have to tell myself, you know what, I'm very proud of them because a lot of them I know and I've seen how much they've worked and how much they've worked for, and they deserve it very much. So I just really try to be happy for them and be encouraging and supportive of them. You know, there's always just that little feeling though, you're like, you know, I wish I could do that. Maybe I'm not good enough, you know.
Well, would you want to hang around somebody that's not doing the numbers or somebody who's doing the numbers? Would you rather, if you want to be a millionaire, would you hang around millionaires or people who aren't millionaires? That's different. That's how you gotta look at it. Is I'd rather hang around those people because they got the gusto. I want to go where they're going. So I make it my business to be around. I would love to be around those people. I wouldn't feel bad. My book is going to be right here because I'm following you. I'm watching you. I'm asking you. I'm picking your brain. So that's how I feel about it.
That's kind of Anthony Robbins' strategy in some ways, isn't it? See what people are doing that's are successful and emulate that.
Oh, Tony Robbins?
Yes, Tony Robbins.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. Isn't he the guy that like jumps into like ice water every morning or something?
I do not know if he does that.
No, I
I
don't know
can
if he does
understand
that.
why he would, but I prefer a hot bath.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard that he has some weird ritual like that every morning. He gets up and does that. I'm like, nope. I can skip that. Nope.
As I say so often in various contexts, chacun a son goût, you know, or do the thing you want to do, right? Be you be you
That's
be you,
right.
as we say.
Everybody's different.
Very much so.
I think one of the things that could contribute to imposter syndrome too is if you have someone, especially if it's someone close to you, someone who matters to you, someone whose opinion matters to you, and you show them your work and they dump all over it. You know, I've had people say to me, ah, I'm not into vampires or this wasn't my thing. But if somebody dear to me, and this has actually happened to me, and it hurts. It stinks. You know, it's if someone just kind of rips apart your work, and it's almost the receiving end. Well, in my case, it was almost the receiving end of what Jennifer was talking about, in which this individual was trying to write a book, and then I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. I'm going to try to write a book. And then we both kind of like started researching. We were both reading Stephen King's On Writing around the same time and coming up through the process of learning the craft together. And then I kind of got my foot out there and started making money, and he trashed everything that I was doing. So,
That's jealousy, though. That's
Well,
jealousy.
he
That
was
was
also trashing me
jealousy.
on the way up too. So before I even started making a dent, he was trashing me. So
It's still jealousy.
I don't know if it was jealousy.
It's still jealousy. Trying to pull you down.
I think it felt more like resentment, kind of like more like, why are you here and not me? So it was almost like he was trying to assign imposter syndrome to me by saying, you don't deserve this. You're not
Assign
supposed to
it.
be here. And then I started doubting myself. I'm like, is he right? Is this, am I just is this a fluke? And it did a lot of damage to my
Psyche.
momentum, I think, you know? And I had to kind of like take him and say, okay, is everyone else saying the same thing? No. Is this guy an outlier? Yes. So as dear to me as this person is or was, I couldn't let that hold me down. And it took me a long time to get to that point. And I got to tell you, years later, it's still, it's every now and then it still stings to
So good. It
think about
takes
that.
it's a lot. I
Well,
had a
I've had
friend
what
do
you
that
said
too.
about, I'm sorry, I've had what you said about people saying, well, I'm just not into what you're writing, and it makes me doubt what I'm writing. I was selling my book at this fair, and this lady, I said, I think my book's a little too old for your kids because they were like, young. She said, well, I don't know anyone who would want to read about a biker gang unless you walked away. I'm like, and then I was just thinking, maybe no one wants to read about a biker gang. And that's like, you know, my book is like about a biker culture. So it made me doubt like what I'm writing based on what other people had to say.
That's such a genre, though. You know, I've read a lot of marketing books and stuff, and books on like how to get an agent and all this. And a lot of them say the same thing. You know, don't try to write, and this kind of goes into the whole like genre bias that, don't try to write this beautiful masterpiece that is intended for everyone to love, because you'll never get there.
It's
You know, find your people, like find the biker gang people,
That's right.
and say, these are my people, this is my demographic, this is your book. And then when other people say, I don't like that, you go, yeah, I know, I
I
don't
got my
care,
people.
because it's not for you, it's for them.
I got
And
my
there's
people.
thousands of those people. There's thousands of I have a
There
friend, I have a good
are.
friend who's writing a biker romance. Tough stuff is out there. And you find your people. And then, like, I was at a book show, and I saw a bunch of young women walk by, and they had like kind of what I would consider like new goth, you know, not like goth from the 80s, but like goth from today, where they dye their hair pinks and they wear the whatever they're wearing. And I thought, oh, I bet they like vampires, because that's my people, the gothic kind of, you know. And so they walk by the table. I'm like, you guys like vampires? And then one of the women goes, I like Twilight. And she just keeps walking. And I was like, not my people, because my vampires, you know, aren't that. They
They don't sparkle.
don't sparkle. They burn in the sun. Not for them.
Making kind of ironic remarks back and forth. No.
That's you just need to, you know, real, you know, what I think, I feel like once you get to the point where you know who your people are, so
That's
when
right.
someone outside of your niche says, I'm not interested, you just kind of go, yeah,
Yeah.
that's okay.
Okay.
I didn't
You're not
expect you
my
to be.
audience. Yeah. Okay.
I was going to jump in and say that I've interviewed two other authors writing about bikers. So
It's
you and
popular.
you're not the only one. You're in good company. So
Listen, you got some celebrities who are bikers. You better attack those guys. I was thinking about, because I love what's his name, the basketball player, and my son saw him in Florida when he was in Miami. Rodman,
Dennis
oh,
Rodman.
Dennis
Dennis Rodman,
Rodman,
yeah.
yeah, and he's a biker, and my son saw him in Florida, in Miami, and he was telling me about him. I said, yeah, he's been a biker for since he's been playing basketball. He's been a biker. But he said his bike was huge. But there, those celebrities like that, I mean, just take a picture with, I mean, just to have a picture with him, I would have put that all over the place. I remember when my book came out. It was Stuff, right? And so there's a trick I did. So I'm always trying to figure out how to get my book where it's not supposed to be, right? I'm always thinking that child, right? And so I said, I wonder if I go into the library and ask my book, like, I'm not the writer, right? And will they buy it? So I go into the library and I say, do you have this book? And I'm acting like I don't know. They're like, no. I said, yeah, somebody recommended it to me. And I wanted to see if you had it. Well, you're in luck. We're ordering books. And so she
That's
got the book.
smart. I love
Right?
that.
So it was like 2 weeks later, I get a call and your book's in. I said, my book's in. Like, no way. So I go to the library. On this, there was Curious George and the Ranger. I forgot the Ranger's name. They
Oh,
were there. The characters was there,
the man in the
right?
yellow hat?
Yeah, they were there. They
I
were
don't think he
there. They
has a
were there.
name. I don't know.
I thought he had a name.
No,
I thought
maybe.
he had.
Maybe they
Maybe
gave him a
not.
name later. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought he did, but they were there. Like the characters was there. So I was like, oh, this is great. So I get the book, take a picture of it, some music. But then I said, hey, let's use these guys, right? So I'm taking a picture with them. So I put it on Facebook. Yeah, I got my book came in today at the library. Your book's at the library? Well, guess what everybody went to do? They went to their library and asked, and they got the book at the library. Quick tip. Quick tip to get your book at the library. I called all my cousins in every state. Hey, go down to the library and ask for this book.
You know, that's a
Nice.
great idea. You know, you don't even need to go.
Great
Why
tip.
don't I'm thinking of calling every library in the country now and asking for my book. Like just calling.
Yes. Just calling and ordering it. Because, like this time, I
Yes.
think it's this time of year that they start getting their catalog ready for next year. So, this time of year is a great time to
I
ask.
might need to write that down.
He has a name in the movies and TV,
What is it?
Ted
What is
Shackelford,
it?
the man in the book,
Oh,
but not in the books, only in the.
okay. Yeah, they did say in the book in the children's book is always the man with the yellow hat.
Now this is a practical tip that we're going to need to make into a TikTok, I think.
Yeah.
Put that one on your TikTok right away and.
Okay.
And then everyone's going to be doing it, and then the librarians aren't even going to answer the phone anymore or
No,
whatever.
they have to. They have
Yeah, that's
to.
true.
They have to. They have to listen to the patrons. The patrons are important.
That's right.
Yeah, they are. So you get it in the library. You get it in one, and every library will have it. So it's that easy. I thought it was
Yeah.
hard because when I first started, remember how that you had to get on this list and you had to pay to get on this list with the whatever National Library Association or whatever it was. Yeah, no, it was
That's
that
how
easy. Like,
Houston was acting. Every time I brought a book to the library to try to get in, they was giving me such a hard time. You had to do this and do this and do this, and
Me
they
too.
never let in.
No, I'm telling you to ask for it. Ask them to
Right.
purchase
Oh yeah,
it.
I know. I'm just saying,
Yeah.
still in
Yeah, no, they'd
Houston,
never
they
do that.
still making you go through a hard time.
Yeah, no, me
Really?
too. I had the same experience with the library. There was like 20 steps. I'm like, I don't want to do those 20 steps. So I like Edna's idea a lot
Yeah, I'm
better.
telling you, ask about it. Ask about, and just have like have people come in and ask about it. And they may not have it. Okay, we're gonna order because if four or five people come in and ask about that book, yeah, they're gonna get it because that means the patrons are like, okay, who is this person? They're gonna do it. And then that kind of makes a way segue to you being paid to be speaker at the library.
Yeah,
Yeah.
maybe I need to learn how to do voices so I can pretend to be somebody calling people. And like, yeah,
That's
you
a
know that we have
really
AI, we can like generate some
good
voices,
one.
That's
right?
good.
Right.
We're
That's
not even gonna
right.
talk about AI.
That I can do
was
Swedish
the last
chat.
discussion. Oh, gosh, that's right. That's
And
right.
you have the unlife of Lisa Cooper.
If she
Okay,
was,
Matt, you are hired. You can call for me
yes,
also because you do great
you're
voice.
she could be Swedish.
That's hilarious.
We can all just take turns and like cycle through, you
Yeah,
know?
there you go. Support
Well,
the author.
I
That's
mean, sorry,
right.
everyone that I've interviewed. Okay, now you owe me a phone call.
That's right. Call your library. Where are you from? Oh, can you call the library? Well, I'll do it in return over here. That's simple. It's easy. Yeah,
Right.
any
But I think also bookstores, like when I was in Colorado Springs, that's where I just moved from, but like a couple local bookstores were happy to carry my book on consignment. And yeah, I mean, it was much easier than I thought to get my book into some of the local
Absolutely.
bookstores.
Yeah,
And but that would be
absolutely.
great to do for others.
I've had some that were great and some that were just not they weren't just
Not
not having
nice.
it. Yeah, because I'm an indie author and they wouldn't carry it. So
Yeah, I've
but
gotten a
now
lot of.
they have like I know Barnes and Nobles has like now an indie list.
Oh, do
Anybody
they?
works with Barnes and Nobles?
I've had
I
bad
haven't
luck with
even
them.
tried.
I've never
Yeah,
tried either.
I do a lot of things with them. Like I've formed a relationship with the general manager. So like I go in there and I was like, okay, I'm gonna have this. Okay, let's do it. You know, so I usually get like five or six other authors in there, and we just like have like this jamboree and sell our books. So a lot of us are indies, and so they have an indies list. They just ask for ISBN.
Wow.
Okay.
Nice.
So, you know, Barnes and Nobles is, you know, especially if you can bring them foot traffic, they'll love you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if their vampire book would have been good on Halloween, you know, like a theme of the vampire books, you would have been making money left and right,
Oh
man.
yeah. I've gone to four Barnes and Nobles in my area. They all ghosted me. They never got back to me at all.
No.
So I don't, but I've heard of Barnes and Noble doing things for other indie authors. So I just,
Yeah.
I guess up where I live is just bad. I get some lousy luck, or, they're just not interested.
The managers
Managers
probably
not
suck.
It's the
So
managers.
far.
Yeah.
So far. Now you're going to have everyone you know go in there and ask for your book.
There
And
you
then they're
go.
going to be
There you
begging
go.
for
Right.
it.
There
But
you
I'm in.
go.
Look at the my interview with Dan Klefstad, because he talks about some ways to make connections with independent bookstores around the country. There's a website.
Yeah.
I'm trying to read this handwritten note here and track it down to, and unfortunately I wrote it so sloppy that I'm gonna have to go and rewatch the interview myself to get it. But there is a way to you can start networking like that. Just approach all of these independent bookstores.
Yeah, I'm in five independent bookstores right now, and
That's
I've
good.
gotten several rejections, where people are just like, nope, not, I don't have enough shelf space, or I don't care that you're an indie author, that sort of thing. I've had libraries tell me no. I've had libraries say yes. I've had libraries buy my books. It's a mixed bag. So I think you have to
It just
prepare.
depends on who's over the section.
Yeah. I think
That's right, exactly.
you have
I've
to
had a
prepare yourself for
librarian
rejection.
take my books, and she said, "Come back and check." When I went back and checked, she had thrown them away. I was like,
Oh
"Oh,
my God. Oh no.
now
Throw
I was
your book
like,
away.
oh,
Oh, jeez.
yeah, it
That's
kind of threw me
heartbreaking.
off for a while, and I was like, she just threw them away.
Well, they can, if they pay for it, they can throw it away. But if they ain't paying for it and I'm giving it to them,
Nope,
no.
she didn't pay for them, and she just looked at them. What well, they have the ISBN number and all this, and
Wow.
then I went back to check, and she had tossed them.
Wow.
That's
Wow.
terrible. Another thing to look at also, it depends on what you write, but is high school libraries seem to be like I got a really good response. I like emailed like five different high schools and four got back to me and said, yeah, bring us your book. So that was a good, I mean, I write young adult, but still, even if you don't,
It's
they
really
might
good. I only
have.
have one young adult book. I don't know why I wrote that book, but
I can't do it because I'm a high
yeah.
school teacher, but
Huh?
I did have one of my books in my high school library for a while, and then I was accused of a conflict of interest, and it went away. So
Oh,
gotta be careful
oh.
with that.
That's too bad.
I could try the high school in your town.
It'd probably be
Yeah,
different.
sorry.
And you were in the school, in that school, right? Though, Matt?
Yeah, I was in the school, and the New York City is very uptight about that. I'm not even supposed to mention that I have books in my classes. I can't tell my students. If they say, "Hey, I heard you're an author," I'm like, "No, that's another guy who looks just like me."
Wow.
That's surprising since you teach English that they wouldn't want you
Exactly.
to show how successful you are in
Yeah.
applying your knowledge.
No, they don't.
That doesn't make sense.
No. I
Right?
wrote
Like if I
this
did something great with math, I would think I would be able to mention it in a math classroom.
Yeah, they don't want you to make money off of the children, huh?
No.
Yeah, they always run away.
That's the priority, is that we can't have a side hustle, our side hustles interfere with
Wow.
Teaching,
The devil
yeah.
tossed my history book.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
There's so many different things that have given me imposter syndrome, just trying to push books. I wrote this book called The Perfect Solution, and it's about childcare and a child that was
pretty much stalked, and the teacher made a mistake giving away. But it goes about, it's about the issues in daycare and negligence and all that. And this director even hired me to work in her daycare because I was a daycare worker at the time, and took a lot of the points and solutions out of my book and implemented in her system. And when I got ready to, she even gave me a good book review. And when I got ready to start a little home daycare, because I got tired of working for somebody else, she wanted her review taken off my book.
Wow.
I was like, yeah. She said, I want you to take down my review. But I didn't take down her review because, girl, you gave that to me. It was a good book. You used my stuff out of it.
Right.
So they
Right.
threw me
Did you
off.
get paid for like her using some of that in the taking some of that out and using it?
No.
Wow.
She just used
Yeah.
no. And then I went
Wow.
around to different daycares, and we even did workshops, and they hint just to secure your daycares, because working in daycare,
Yeah.
there's so much negligence can go around. And
Right, sure. Wow,
Hmm.
that's a really good subject. I mean, I would say it's like, primo. I would definitely I would push that like on, get me create an online course for that. I'd push that.
I had the
I'd be pushing that.
worksheets
That's
and
a really good.
everything, and I was like, but then that was in my little hometown. Now I moved to Houston, and Houston is kind of scary.
Yeah. I want to say this, that imposter syndrome hits marginalized authors like Black authors, women, LGBTQ, harder, a lot, underrepresented groups, because our message sometimes is not universal because they don't see it from our view. And so
And this
that
was,
imposter syndrome can get us like that.
Well, that's what I was
Yeah.
thinking when Misty said about being a romance author, that it's, more connected with women. And so,
Right.
like, I've heard, like, if I remember, this author came into my English classroom, and she said when she named her, she changed her name from Christine to Chris, her sales went way up because people assumed she was a man. So I
Right.
think that Misty, like, as a romance writer, people say romance, women doesn't count, doesn't matter. I feel like that is, do you think that's true?
I
I think
do.
that's part of it, yeah. And they don't consider it to be a serious genre, So it's those kissing books,
And then if you don't
Yeah.
write spicy, which is the trend now, like,
Oh,
why
man.
bother? I don't.
That's what I say about my little romance
Erotic,
books.
not
They are
spicy,
not spicy.
Yeah. Spicy romance. So I don't
Yeah.
know. But no, romance is hard. I put some romance in my book, and that's the first time I ever did, and it was challenging. I mean,
It is.
what to say,
Yeah.
what not to say, like, especially for writing for a teen audience. I don't know if
Yeah.
you write for all different age levels, but I found it very challenging. So.
Yeah. I write for adults. I mean, I've wrote in various different heat levels, but yeah, it's
Heat
mostly for
levels.
adults. Yeah.
The heat levels. I like it.
Yeah, I like that. Spicy.
Sweet to spicy. Yeah.
Now, do you in your vampire books, are they romance also or no?
A little bit. There's no spice. In fact,
Unromance.
yeah,
Unromance.
it's I think the book two, in book one, she kind of is maybe interested in this guy, and I kind of it's a very slow burn interest because it's not a romance. It's not a part of the genre. But the second book they smooch. So, but that's all you get. That's it. That's
That's
it.
Well, what's going to
Wait.
happen in book three? Are we at least going to get to second base? No, I'm just
Hold
kidding.
if something happens in book three, it'll be a fade to black because it's not something I've written previously, so I don't want to like throw a genre monkey wrench into
Yeah.
this urban fantasy that's been no romance the whole time, and then suddenly it's like, meh. Like, has anyone seen the Matrix movies? Keanu Reeves, you know what the right? The second movie, I think, opens up when they're in Zion, this underground city. And there's this like steamy scene with him and Trinity.
Oh,
And I
yeah.
remember thinking, is that what this kind of movie is? But like, it was almost jarring. Like, I didn't mind the spice of it, but at the same time, I'm like, this was a sci-fi kind of action adventure, and now they're throwing
Didn't
in
have to put that in here.
a sex scene. It just
Yeah.
felt out of place.
They didn't come there to
Right.
see that. That's not what,
Not that I,
felt like kind of self-indulgent.
It
Oh,
felt
you
like
should
it
have
didn't
some
belong.
stuff trimmed out.
And then we never saw anything like that again.
No.
Like, it didn't get steamy. There was no steamy stuff in the third one, and there's no steamy stuff later in the second one. It was just this one-off scene that just didn't feel like it belonged. It was weird.
Right.
For
Well,
me, I don't know.
question for you all. Do you write to what you think your readers want, even if it's something you don't particularly want to include or write about because you think it will do better or resonate more with who your target audience is?
No, I just
No.
write.
No, I
To a
write this.
certain
I just
extent,
write.
write. A reader
Yes.
will come for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was writing romance, which Misty taught me how to do, I'm forever grateful for that.
That's a pretty
Then,
good book.
we were writing in a genre which had a certain spice level, so she had to coach me through writing spice, and
Yep.
I did
Yeah.
not know how to do it. And I put out two books on my own, one of them long and the other one very short, and I managed to put the spice in by myself, but it was very unnatural to me. But I felt like I'm trying to manage this genre, so I had to do it.
Yeah.
I'd say for the most part, I just at this point, in order to break through the writer's block and the extended period of imposter syndrome that I went through starting from COVID time, that I'm just writing whatever I'm interested in, what I feel like I can finish this, and I'll have to figure it out later. I said to myself, recently, it was a non-posted Facebook comment I posted. I have to accommodate myself to the idea that when I put out the next book, that absolutely no one is going to buy it. Not that I will not sell a single copy by just doing it because I have to do it. And that's sort of where I am. And I promised you all that I would be vulnerable for this one and just kind of acknowledge that, because usually when I'm doing school of fiction stuff, I'm the expert and I'm the interviewer and stuff like that. The reality is that I really do not know what that I have a professional place other than what than doing this right now. I still want to write. I'm still writing. I still like what I'm writing, but it's been the market has been very alienating. I'm not saying I'm not asking for coaching, or because I heard a lot of good ideas. And interviewing has given me good ideas. It's just, to be honest about this feeling that after more than 4 years as a writer, I have absolutely no place whatsoever in the industry except this kind of, pose of being the grand old man. It's tough.
Yeah.
I just had this
Yeah.
idea of this book I hadn't been pushing very well because I've just been getting the wrong people talking to me. Because this one book I wrote, this lady told me nobody would ever want to read that book. I mean, and it has gotten some really good reviews too. And it's called The Fishing Trip. And basically what it's about, and as we were talking, I was like, oh my God, I could have been pushing that with the Epstein files, because what it's about is the guy in there was abused as a child. In the whole little town, it's a bunch of pedophiles just abusing people. And then these children started taking care of these pedophiles, like getting rid of them. And when they got older, the guy gets rid of pedophiles. And his main point is life deserves action. And the lady said nobody would ever want to read that book, but I'm
I
like,
would. I'd want to read
yeah,
that.
I
Yeah,
would. It's called The Fishing
I
Trip, and
would.
it's
You would be
really
going to
interesting.
take that book inside one of those groups that, for like, child abuse or whatever, and that book would sell hot. No, I mean,
It
for
would.
real,
I
like
was like, I
it
was
would
just
sell
sitting
hot.
here, and I've been trying to write the little short stories for the everybody who's in there to just so you can see where they all came from. And I've just been stuck. But as y'all were talking, I was like, man, I could have been pushing that book this time. Wait till tomorrow. I'm going to write something about it. Because she
That's
said,
right.
oh my God. And she's a big promoter now, because when I first met her, she was asking about books and what you write. And when I sent that in, nobody's ever going to read that book. But then I watch her now. She's promoting, that's her job. She promotes people. I've
Wow.
never brought her back up in her face, but yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
that's just goes back to like finding your people. You know,
Yeah.
she's not one of yours. I went to
Yeah.
years ago, no, not that many, a couple years ago, I think it was. I went to Balticon, which is a science fiction. It's they bill it as a science fiction and fantasy book con, but it's really heavy on the science fiction. So it's in Maryland, so it was a road trip. It was like I'm doing all these shows in like Massachusetts, Rhode Island, where I live. This is like going to extend my reach, and maybe I can find some people in a different state, and that would be great. So I get down there, and it's plenty of authors, plenty of indie authors, but the biggest genre is sci-fi. And I would say the median age of the people going to the con are about 60. So these aren't just like sci-fi fans. These are like Isaac Asimov, right? L. Ron Hubbard, Robert A. Heinlein, right? Like H.G. Wells, like all, old school stuff like that. So if I had, maybe if I had spaceships or something, they would have been like, but I couldn't tell you how many people walked by my table and went, vampires? No. No, no. And if I didn't get myself in that kind of mindset where I was like, these aren't my people, I probably would have walked away from that event thinking, oh my God, this is, what am I doing? But thankfully I was in that headspace where I was like, I'm in the wrong con. I should go home.
Well, I just want to add that, to answer my question also, I do actually look at what my audience wants. And one thing I do is I look at agents' manuscript wish lists. It's a great way to see like what's trending. And so I still write about what I want to write about, but I'm incorporating a lot more like LGBTQ plus topics and characters, a lot more multicultural characters than I ever wrote before. And I got a lot of sensitivity readers because I've never written from, certain viewpoints and things. But I feel like it made my writing richer to really like look and see what do teenagers care about
Oh,
and
absolutely.
somehow work that into my idea.
Well, in romance, there are a lot of expectations as far as your tropes and your subgenres go. So you really have to keep those in mind, because if you
You
throw
do.
something out there that people haven't seen before, it's, that doesn't get received all that well usually. So, you don't
And
really
don't
want
let
to
your
invent.
character die.
And you have to have at least a happy ending or happy for now. So that's very important in
Happy for
romance,
now.
John. Otherwise, you're Nicholas Sparks, and that's not romance.
Yeah, you do have to feed into the, especially for certain genres, especially like mystery, sci-fi, thrillers. Yes, it's a little bit formulaic, and that's where I kind of struggle because I'm a thriller writer, but and I'm also a sci-fi writer, but not typical sci-fi. I don't care about spaceships and monsters and things, I write about the mind, so it is hard, but I try to like listen to and look at what the, not just what's popular, but like what the agents are asking for.
Well,
The
that's the way
trick
to
is
do
to
it. take those expectations and make that story yours too,
Exactly. It's really awful when I do read current stuff and I'm like, all right, this is just the last three books. It's like, different characters, same book. These books that are super popular. And I'm like, all right, it's the same thing. Just, this girl's on a boat, that girl's on a train, but it's like the same
Same
story,
story.
right?
You're still lost.
I'm querying right now, and the first time I queried was in 2022, and ultimately I had to shelve the book because I got a full request and I got some feedback and on how to tweak it and stuff, and by that time my vampire series had already kind of taken off on my self-publishing track, so I'm like, I don't really have time to focus on this right now, so I kind of shelved it. fast forward now, I have a novella that I'm querying, brand new. And the difference in those 3 years, we were talking about how imposter syndrome hits underrepresented demographics more than, say, white dudes, right? When I query right now, first of all, most of the agents that I see out there are women, and they are hungry for LGBTQ plus own voices written by people of color, and
Disabled.
it yes it in 3 years, and I'm glad to see it, because it's this industry. Just walk through a Barnes and Noble or any bookstore, it's this dominated, one-sided place, literature. And people are like going, we need other voices, we need other stuff. And going through a manuscript wish list, as you said, is like arming yourself with all the information you need. Is this the right agent for me? Are they looking for what I have? And yeah, it's just a great way to do it. And
It's good.
it's great to see the industry do it. It doesn't help me right now,
Yes,
but I like
it does. It
seeing,
gives you that fire. Yes, it does.
right. But it doesn't, it just means that I have to step it up a bit, which is good, because it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
I wanted to say to Matt, what you're feeling is imposter syndrome. It's writing under pressure, that you finally find your place, and then you feel the constant, push to produce. You don't have to, because there's sometimes there's a time that you. I mean, I literally had a time I didn't write at all, and then all of a sudden, there it comes. It may be that how you open a jar and you have to you try it with your hands and it still don't open, right? And so you have to go find something like maybe one of those little flat things you put on top and it grips it, and you have to find something to open it. This could be your time that you're finding something to open what you really are going to write about. So take this time and just chill,
No,
like really
I
enjoy
would get
what
so
you're
much
doing.
imposter syndrome when I tried to write anything other than what to me. When COVID struck, I tried to write a book from the point of view of a mixed race female, high school girl, part Asian, part Black. And I thought, because this is kind of what, even back then, I thought the industry was looking for. And I liked her, and I liked the character, and I liked the writing. And I said to myself, I would be considered an imposter for this, right? Because I can't pull it off, because I'm not those things. And I stopped. I never did finish it. And because I would genuinely have been an imposter writing such a book, even though I liked the characters and I liked the situation.
You
So
still believe
finish
that,
it.
Matt?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think you would. I had a guy on thing with Sean McMichaels, and he wrote a book about an Indian reservation, like an Indian reservation. It was a thriller, and the Indian young boy fell in love with a white girl on in it was in Montana somewhere, and I said, so where do you get the your thoughts, because you're not Indian. Because we're cracking up laughing. I was like, you're not Indian. So he says, yeah. He said, what I had to do is what he calls shadow work is hang out, with somebody of that color. Hang out with them.
Yeah,
You're not in the property,
I had an author recently on, Alex Temblador, who has a book about called Writing Identity, Not Your Own, who said very much the same thing. You have to make friends within the community that you're writing about. I did not think that being the teacher of those teenage girls was sufficient, though,
That's
unfortunately.
sufficient, though. That's sufficient.
You just have to.
Jennifer brought
Yeah, I
up
hear
sensitivity
you.
readers, which I think is a great resource,
Yeah,
because
for sure.
I've used
Alex was
sensitivity.
recommending that too.
I've used sensitivity readers before. I
Me
wrote
too.
my first manuscript. The woman was lesbian, so I didn't, I had to hire a sensitivity reader for that. And then I have another character in my current series who's deaf, and I want it to be very not, you know, not only do you want to get it right, but you want to be
Yeah.
sensitive to not
Right.
use something accidentally that just comes off
Right.
bad, you know. So
Yeah.
I don't think you would have been an imposter to write outside your demographic. I think it's the opposite. I think we're expected to, because otherwise I'm writing, if that was the case, I'd write stories about a bunch of white men that are in IT, you know, and it'd be a very boring story.
No, but you're right, Matt. I hear you because I love legal and medical thrillers, but I would never try to write one. I do not know firsthand, enough to write that well. That's, I feel like kind of the same way. Like, I love reading them and watching them, but I wouldn't try myself to write it like as a doctor or a lawyer, because I wouldn't even think the way that they would. And on the subject, my sister, she the particular show on TV that is in her field, and she can't stand the show because she's like, nobody in the field would say what they said or do it that way, because she has firsthand knowledge, so I kind of feel like I would be an imposter if I tried to write a medical thriller or like write, be John Grisham, So I hear you about that.
Well, I have written people of color quite a bit. You just read one of the one book when I was most proud of how I did that. I don't know, you didn't comment to me about it, but
Yeah, that's pretty
I
good.
don't want to be afraid to do those things. But it's just that I also don't, it's more like a perception of being an imposter rather than, and also this kind of the feeling of
Right.
people are going to say you shouldn't have done that, you had no right to do that.
That's the syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the syndrome, though.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
not true. It's not
Right.
true.
Let me ask a question for Jennifer then. You talked about medical, writing about medical, because it's not, you know, something you're, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're not comfortable writing or you don't feel you have the expertise. Do you have like biker gangs or bikers in your life, or is that something you had to research?
I was part of the biker community in Fort Lauderdale for
Okay.
many years. And so, right, I was, I'm biker adjacent. That's what I
Okay.
call myself. But
Yeah.
like, I actually had a lot of bikers read my stuff, because like in my plot, I needed a criminal group. And I happened to also be watching Sons of Anarchy at the time.
Oh,
Nice.
yes.
Yeah, it
Nice.
was so great. I was taking notes about what they wore, how they talked. This is only half of my book, but yeah, but I also have a lot of some skinhead stuff, and that's where like someone said to me, I'm not going to, I never wrote such edgy content, and I was kind of like, should I use
Yeah.
the N-word, because a skinhead person would. And
Right. Yeah.
I had several sensitivity readers. I decided to take that word out. And I just changed that scene quite a bit because I didn't feel comfortable with what the guy said. But, so I had to kind of, make that decision. And just in general, yeah, I definitely, the sensitivity readers were amazing. And I had people of several different, I had a couple, I had a transvestite person read. I had several different people of all different, and it was very, very helpful, because also, like someone mentioned sensitivity, like someone said, God, don't say that like that. And I'm like, is that wrong? Like, I didn't know. And
Yeah.
so that was very, very helpful for me, because sometimes you
Yeah.
don't realize what you're saying could really offend somebody.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I'm a
let
big.
the movies put all the curses in. Once it
Yeah.
becomes a movie, let them put that in.
I'm a
Yeah, exactly.
big proponent of if you have a subject that you're passionate about and you don't know enough about it to write about it, or you could research it.
Yeah, right.
I like to use Michael
Right.
Crichton as an example, because not only did he do ER, but he also did Westworld and Jurassic Park. And I think Michael Crichton may have a medical background. So ER felt like
He
maybe
was a
Full
doctor.
House,
He was an MD.
right? Yeah. So, but when he did Jurassic Park, he went and he talked to paleontologists, and he had an idea for a story, but he didn't know enough about dinosaurs. So he brought himself up to speed. And I think if that's something you want to do, then I wouldn't. If it's a subject that you want to write about, I wouldn't hold yourself back from it because you don't feel like you're allowed to do it.
Right. And
Just
I do have some medical things, but like I love Tess Gerritsen. She's one of my very, very favorites, but like I could never write like her because she was a medical examiner and I just wouldn't even know, and those things wouldn't even occur to me. So I wouldn't write as that, like as a main character probably. But yeah, I definitely agree. You could do research on, like, you know, you're saying like, you'll go hang out with people of whoever you're trying to write.
That's
Good
so
tip.
we're coming to the later part of our time, and so let's, I guess, go around and give a final message about imposter syndrome. What did we learn? What are we thinking about this? And then we'll start scheduling part two.
Great.
We do have some of you going to be in another forum that I have coming up in December also.
Awesome.
So who wants to start?
Well, it's good to know that we're not alone. So we all have suffered from the same syndrome, and we will continue to suffer that for the rest of our careers. And it's okay. You can work through it. You can get through it.
I was so nervous to be on here. Almost didn't come on because I was like, oh man, I don't have nothing to say. I'm just lost sometimes.
Oh man. Well, same. I had a very brain draining day at work, so it was rough.
Yeah, I think it's natural. I think we've all experienced it,
Experienced it.
and it
it
I almost want to say
I
you
almost
should
want to
embrace it a
say you
little
should
bit.
embrace it a little bit.
Maybe take a
Maybe
step back,
take a step
wallow in
back,
it for a little
wallow
while,
in it for
maybe
a little
figure
while,
out why
maybe
you
figure
feel
out
the way that
why
you
you feel
do,
the way that you do.
and then
And then
wait for that,
wait for
as
that,
Edna says, you know,
as
wait for
said,
that jar to
wait for
open
that jar
again,
to open again.
and then dig back
And
into
then
it when
dig
you're
back
ready.
into it when you're ready.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely,
Awareness is really
awareness is
helpful.
really helpful.
This has helped me
This
to
has
know,
helped
you
me
know, I'm
to know,
not
you know,
alone
I'm
in
not
my
alone in my
fears and
fears and
insecurities, that we
insecurities
all
that
have them,
we
no
all
matter
have
how
them, no matter
accomplished
how
we are.
accomplished we are.
Yeah. And maybe we
Yeah.
can think of
Maybe we
it
can
more as a
think of it more as a
motivator to do
motivator to
better
do
and, you know,
better and,
kind of
you
like, you know,
know,
break
like
out of our
break out
comfort
of our
zones a
comfort
bit and
zones, you know,
start,
and
you know,
then
working on those
working
voices
on
so
those
you can
voices
like call
so you can
everybody
say
up,
anybody
get them
and
to carry
get
your
them to
book. I
carry
don't
your
know. That's
book.
a
I
really
don't
good
know. That's
tip.
a really
I
good
wrote
tip.
it down,
I wrote it
actually.
down,
So.
actually.
Yeah.
I
Oh, we
don't
can
know how we
continue.
got an echo, but I apologize
I
to listeners
apologize
for
to
the echo at the end here.
the echo at the end here.
Am I the only one hearing
Am
it?
I the only one hearing it?
I'm hearing
No,
it
I hear
too.
it.
I'm hearing it
I hear
too.
it.
But I'm hearing it.
All right. So
All right.
I think,
So,
but
I think,
I'll try
but
to be quick
I'll
because
try to be quick because
I think my
I
summary
think
is
my
that
summary is that
one of the best
one of
answers
the
that
best
we're getting
answers
out
that
of
we're getting out of this
session of talking about
session
imposter
of talking about
syndrome and
imposter
supporting
syndrome
each
and
other.
supporting each other.
And I feel like
And
the
I feel
answer
like
to
the
how
answer
often
to
turn to
how
this
often
phrase
turn to this
community,
phrase community,
finding each other,
finding
very
each
hard
other,
for
very
writers to
hard
do.
for writers to do.
For reasons that we've already
For
talked
reasons
about.
that we're talking about.
But I mean, I
Yeah,
feel
I mean, I feel
ready to go
ready
because,
to go because,
you know, the five people
you know,
who
the
are with
five
me right
people who
now.
are with me right now.
And
And
I'm going to leave it at
I'll
that.
leave it at that. It's good. So imposter syndrome isn't the voice of truth, guys. It's the echo of old rooms that we've been in, old rules that we agreed to, and old stories. So we've outgrown them. And think of imposter syndrome as the signal to something bigger than you were raised to believe. That's
Yeah.
it.
Great.
And it's
Love
really
it.
enlightening to
Love
be
it.
with you all.
Good.
Yeah, very. Yeah,
All right. So let's just
Let's
each
just
say
each
what
say
we have
what
going
we
on,
have
and
going
then
on, and
we'll sign
then
off.
we'll sign off.
So what's next for everyone?
Hey, I'm going to do something to promote my fishing trip
There you go.
today. I'm gonna do
Good.
that tomorrow.
Well, I'm very excited. I'm working on two. Well, my book is One in Vermilion May Live. I'm working on Two in Vermilion May Die. But I also have these 13 short stories I've been working on for 15 years, and I wrote a novel around them, and I'm getting ready to query it. It's called What Happened in the Janitor's Closet.
And I'm very excited. It's a psychological suspense with a locked room mystery and an embedded short story collection. Super
Wow.
excited.
Nice.
Nice.
That sounds fun. Nice. Well, I am working on hopefully finishing the fourth book in my romantic comedy series. I've got the draft written. I just have to get motivated enough to actually finish it.
Yes, you made
What's
a
your
major
series
on all
called?
three
Yes.
of them. I can tell you how good they are. They're all amazing. So
I finally
one
opened
is so
it
funny, I
last
fell in love.
weekend for the first time in, I don't know.
Uh-oh. Think I'm the only one left on the recording. Thank you all so much for being here. And I'll get this out as soon as I can. Thank you so much.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.